right. Good morning, everybody. How are we doing? We got some good weather this week. Yeah. Able to get out and golf yesterday, so I'm appreciative. All right. Let's take a look here. So we've got a – I'm just going to go over these corrections that were handed to me here this morning. So the Calvary – month for bringing snacks and things like that for the Harlan Christian Youth Center. That's actually going to be December, so that's next month. Another one, choir practice tonight instead of the normal 5 p.m. It's at 4:30. And this is the last week to pop or poke the turkey. That's what it's called. Yeah, to poke the turkey. So if you want to, it's over here to support the one more time the. Well, yeah, scan. What does that stand? Stop Child Abuse and Neglect. All right. Okay. All right. And then also on there, we've still got the Calvary Sisterhood meeting. They've got that on Saturday, November 11th. Again, if you're interested in that, get in contact with Lori. And then something new on here this week is A Taste of Christmas, and it looks like this will be for women over 13 years and older. It's going to take place on December 1st at 6:30 at Northridge Baptist Church. And if you want to get any more information on that or RSVP, you can go ahead and talk to Rhonda or Lori, and you need to talk to one of them by the 28th. I think that's really it. Oh, we've got a birthday, Rhonda Weller, on the 10th, so make sure we, Wendler, jeez, so make sure to wish her a happy birthday. All right, what's today, though? It's the 3rd? Will we be here next? Oh, wow, okay, let's go ahead and sing. I'll start us off. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Rhonda. Happy birthday to you. I'll leave it. All right, let's just go ahead and say a prayer. There was a good joke we all missed there. Okay, dear God, we come to you in prayer. We pray. Thank you for an opportunity to come here this Sunday morning and gather and worship and hopefully glorify your name, not only while we're here, but through the rest of the week, God. And we pray that as we fellowship this morning, as we sing your praises, as we listen to Pastor Mike's sermon, that we would take something that would sanctify us a little bit more than when we came in, God, and that our trajectory towards you would continue over the course of this lifetime. And so we just pray for Pastor Mike and that you'd give him wisdom and guidance as he delivers a message here this morning. We pray that for the choir as well. And, yeah, we just pray for eyes and ears that are able to hear and understand your word, God. And we pray all these things in your son Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning, everybody. Please stand with us as we sing, He Has Made Me Glad.
I will enter his courts with praise. I will say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad.
Turn to that right or left and say, I'm glad to see you this morning.
Courts with praise. I will say, this is the that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad.
And now, count your many blessings. We sure do have a lot of those, don't we?
When my pillows to a tempest tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. Are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the cross in heavy you are called to bear? Count your many blessings, every dog will fly. How you will be singing as the days go by. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Your many blessings, see what God has done. When you look at others with pearls and gold, think that Christ has promised you his wealth untold. Count your many blessings, money cannot buy. You'll be more in heaven, nor your home on high. Come. Blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. So in conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged, God is over all. Count your many blessings, angels will attend. Help and comfort give you to your journey's end. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done.
Before we have our offertory prayer, I just want to take a moment and count a blessing. My mom is home. She's doing so much better. So thank you so much for your prayers. And that's a blessing to our family. So thank you, God.
Dear gracious Heavenly Father, thank you that we can come before you and worship in your house. Thank you for the many blessings that you've bestowed upon us. The needs are great. Every one of us here has something on our hearts, but we can be here in joy and praise you. Take this offering and bless it, multiply it, and continue the work of your hands. Amen.
I think that's one of my favorite hymns. Thank you guys this morning. Let's stand again if you can. We'll sing, "Oh, Worship the King."
Worthy and wonderful. worship and praise.
Amen. Great singing. Please be seated.
Yes, thank you, guys. Pastor, how was your birthday? Yes, you. Was it good? Did you get a piece of cake, ice cream, or what? A Korean barbecue. Huh. Wow. Oh, well, it's his birthday. You eat too much on your birthday. That way you get another birthday, you know? Okay. If you have your Bible, turn to Genesis this morning. Although you don't have to, because probably Lou's going to put it up on the screen here. But Genesis chapter 6 is the verse I'm going to read in just a minute. Oh, I want to thank you for all your prayers, your kindness, and soups and all kinds of stuff that you've been bringing over. My wife is doing, I think, a little bit better. That surgery, I think she thought this time it seemed to hurt worse than the first time. So I don't know what the deal is on that, but she is doing better. She's got one of those little boxes. I think, you know, the doctor must have had a brother who had a cooler factory. And so he had this little blue cooler thing. And so it's my job to keep that thing full of ice. And she doesn't want just ice. She wants it right there, that little thing right there. Yeah. You know, when you put the little gizmo, you have to get a little room for it. But anyway, so she is doing better, and I appreciate your prayers and thinking of her. And we'll read this passage from Genesis this morning. It says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." That's pretty bad, isn't it? "And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart." Father, we do thank you for who you are. There's no shadow of turning in you. You're constant. Your love, your mercy, your grace. None of these things ebb and flow. They're constantly towards us. We thank you for that. But Lord, we do live in a world where evil is running rampant. And we pray, Father God, that you will continue to work in the lives of the people around the world. Lord, I know that our television and all those kind of things are bringing us the war with Israel and Hamas and all those things there. But Lord, that's not the only place in the world that they're fighting. That's not the only war. There are many already happening all around the world. And so, Lord, we thank you for who you are. You're the Prince of Peace. You are that great I Am, the God of peace and joy, the God of comfort, the God of grace and hope and love. Lord, help us to magnify Jesus in this underworld world, that those others all around the world might finally see the face of Christ and come to him, bending those knees and saying, "Lord, forgive me. I want to follow you and be like Jesus." That's our prayer as well, Lord. For these things we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, with all my heart and with all the understanding of my mind, I believe that America is in deep, deep trouble. I think the world is in deep, deep trouble. As I've said many times, that we are a New Testament church. We believe in the resurrection of Jesus. But that doesn't mean that the Old Testament doesn't have any value. Those eternal truths in the Old Testament, they're eternal. We deeply and maybe desperately need to grasp them, because getting those there will understand what God has for us in many, many ways. With this understanding, as Christians, we can impact our staggering world and bring the truth of Christ to a hard-pressed world. The justice of God, the godly principles, which have long produced, I would think, peace in the world. And I'm going to say it this way because, I love America. I think it has produced who we are as Americans. But to the forefront, we recognize that all those things are changing daily. All those things are either lifted up or they're put down. They're either embraced or they're pushed aside. And so let me remind you what the great apostle Paul said. And I was asking Bob this morning, look that up for me. I didn't remember how many epistles Paul wrote. I think it was 13. So Bob looked that up for me. And he said, well, his thing said 13 or 14, however you count that. So we had to talk about that for a while. I said, well, you know, there are some people who say, you know, like the book of Hebrews is not a Pauline epistle. It's maybe Apollos or somebody like that. Because it does not have Paul's signature on it like he normally has. But anyway, 13 or 14. But definitely he wrote the book of Romans, chapter 15, verse 4. It says, for whatsoever were written aforetime, that's the Old Testament, were written for our learning that we through patience and comfort of the scripture might have what? Hope. What was written aforetime were written for us to gain insight. They were written for us, they captured for us, preserved for us, that we might learn of grace and mercy in the reality and in the glare of worldliness. God's grace still shows through. But there's evil in the world, that's for sure. And there was a type of evil in Noah's day that in Genesis chapter 6, verse 5 and 6, it says, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart were continually evil. Well, that's a sad report on mankind, isn't it? And verse 6 says, and lots of people get upset with this verse, but it's in the Bible. You can look if you want to. And it repented the Lord that he made man on the earth, and it grieved him in his heart. It repented God. God was right to the very point of saying, boy, I don't know if I should have done this or not. That shows us the desperation that we set for a standard for ourselves and in the world we live in, that God, whose grace and mercy are overflowing, when he forgives us of sin, it's as far as the east is from the west. How far is that? Deepest sea. That's the God of patience and love and mercy and grace. And that God was saying to himself, man. Well, we used to say here that we're one nation under God. But now I think we've become one nation outside where God will have us. We talk about the scriptures as I heard this on the radio just the other day when I was going to the store. The heavy-handedness of the scripture. I wonder what that guy was reading, you know? Maybe it was conviction of his soul that he needed Christ. I don't know. Well, it may be that God is sorry that he gave us all these wonderful things and blessed us, but he has done it, and he will not forsake us. Micah 2 says, woe to them that devise iniquity and work evil in their beds. When the morning light is come, they practice it. Have you ever done that? Have you ever stayed up all night long wrestling with something? Maybe something that's happened in your life and it was not pleasing to you and you didn't know how to handle it or something like that. And so you wrestled all night long. I've done that many times. And I do remember this one particular time because I thought to myself, oh my goodness. And so there was this set of circumstances that took place, and they ended in a kind of a confrontation, and one of our guys said, you know, Pastor Mike, what did you do with that dirt? Now that's interesting, isn't it? What did you do with the dirt? The dirt? Ah, well, we had a big pile of dirt in the back from where we built the building over there, and we were filling in the footer all the way around the building with that dirt. And I don't know, it was a city. Was over here and right here on this corner, and they were working there, and they had some vehicles, and the guy came across the street and said, "Could we park our truck and that big steamroller thing in your driveway for now?" He said, "We'll be back at it in the morning real quickly." He said, "But your light will show on those." He said, "You'd be surprised how many times we come back to work the next day and half the stuff has gone off the machine." And I thought, well, okay, if that's... And so anyway, I said, "Yeah, that'd be fine, I think, no problem." And he said, "Is there anything we could do for you?" I said, "Well, hey, you know, I can drive a front-end loader, do you know that?" And he... I said, "If you let me use that for 1 hour," I said, "you can park there for a month for all I care." He said, "Well, you say you can drive it, huh?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, I can't let you drive it." He said, "But what do you want done?" So I told him and showed him. He says, 3 o'clock, I'll be over." At 4 o'clock, he was done. We'd already spent 6 hours carrying dirt for 3 weeks, and in a couple of hours, boom, he was done. That's what a good front-end loader guy can do with dirt. And so, boom, you know, I was so pleased. I was just, woo. I couldn't hardly wait to tell somebody that the Lord had provided this guy and his machine, and he put the dirt where we needed it. Well, anyway, one of our guys pulled up out in the driveway the next day, and he walked around the building and came back around the building, and he says, "Where's that dirt?" "What do you mean, where's that dirt?" I said, "It's all around the building." I said, "You wouldn't believe it. There was a guy with a front-end loader over here the other day, and he actually took the front-end loader and distributed it all around the building." "Who told him to do that?" I did. He said, "I had plans for that dirt. I wanted to put it here and there and everything. You put all of it around the building." He said, "We'll have to wait a couple of weeks for that to settle to see if we've really got it down the way it should be." And I couldn't help to think, but what's wrong with you, bud? All that shoveling and putting in a wheelbarrow and all that was gone. It was around, beautiful, all the way around the building. And yet, that wasn't sufficient. Amazing, isn't it? Amazing. Well, he was on fire that day, not in a good way. And so whatever else I was doing or something like that, I saw him a little bit in the afternoon, and he said something to me. And I said, "Brother so-and-so," I said, "I don't know what's the problem." I said, "But, you know, we have deacons, and you are one." He says, "Yeah, I'm the chairman." I said, "Isn't that a shame that you're the chairman of deacons, and you're acting like a kid?" Ooh. Ooh. You know, his hair probably went up that high, you know, like that. Well, you know what, though? He didn't hit me or anything like that. He quit talking to me. He got in his truck and drove off. And he didn't talk to me for about 3 or 4 months. But listen, that's not all that bad. Sometimes it's good for people not to talk to you, especially when they're mad at you. So sometimes it's really good, you know. Well, it was probably 18 months, a year and a half at least. Grass had started growing in those little places and all that, and started looking pretty good all the way around the building and all that. And so he'd been coming to prayer meeting, which is a good thing. Hadn't been praying lately, but, you know, anyway. After prayer meeting, he came up and he said, "Pastor Mike?" And I said, "Yeah." He said, "Let me shake your hand." Whoa. Okay, I can do that. He says, "Forget everything I said. It was silly and foolish, and I apologize." I'll tell you what, that's hard to do, isn't it? To admit you're wrong. Do you admit you're wrong? But we get that way sometimes, don't we? We get all catawampus, we get everything upside down. Even good things that happen to us, we can somehow or another find something wrong with that and something that doesn't fit into our hands. Micah said, "The cunning make plans, and at dawn they execute them." Listen, we've got some cunning folks around this world. And they do evil, Micah says, with both hands. 2 Timothy says, it will get worse and it will get worse before it gets better. Wow. We're told we're doing good, yet they report the economy and all those kind of things. And you know, I don't have to listen to the news to know that that's not right. Because you go to this place with the little yellow arches, you get a soda and a sandwich and fries. You know how much a Big Mac, a fry, and a Coke? I did get a large Coke, but they don't charge any different for the large Coke than they do a small. That's why I get the big one. You know how much it was? Just over there. Just over there. I probably paid for half the people in line. Who knows? I don't know. But this is... Yeah, it's wild, isn't it? It's wild. You don't go to McDonald's if you don't have $20 anymore. You're not going to get much there. I don't know much about economics or anything, but I do believe this, and I understand this because I see it with both my eyes, and I see what's happening, and I say evil is blooming all around the world. You don't have to be an economist. You don't have to be a genius. It's white hot in some places. They're literally bombing, killing, scraping, doing stuff in some places. And not just in Palestine. It's not just in Israel. It's not just between the Palestinians. There are wars all over the place. Our colleges, where did these guys come from? Where are they going? I don't know. Yeah. They're out in the street, marching down the street, doing all kinds of stuff. I tell you, I don't know what. How far are we from Chicago? A couple hundred miles? 150? Okay. I think we need to be another 50 or farther. Yeah, I'm not going to Chicago. I'm not going to do it. I don't. If they were giving away $100 bills up there on the sidewalk, I wouldn't go up there. And I'm not going to go to New York City either. I've been there once or twice. Both times it was actually kind of fun. You know, you're always told how snarky that New York people are. We went up there with a mission trip many years ago. And... The church that we were staying at in New Jersey said, what are you guys doing? And we said, such and so. And they said, well, you got to take some time and go across to New York and see Ground Zero. He said, you come all this way, you need to do that. And they said, there's a ferry or something like that. And they said, we'll pay for the way, for the ferry. You go over there and back. Wow, that was pretty nice, wasn't it? Now, those are people from New Jersey. That's not New Yorkers, right? So anyway, we went over there, and you know, we have about three or four chaperones and about 15 or 20 kids, two or three churches together from our association, and we were going down the street, and one of the kids from Huntington had been to New York before, and so he thought he knew where he was going. That's what he thought. Well, we got on the subway. Now, maybe that's the bad thing, because we got off on the wrong spot. And then we got back on the subway trying to get to the right spot. And we got off on the wrong spot again. Yeah, we're just doing great. And then we got on again, but this time we got back to where we started. And we decided to walk out of the subway, get up on the street. And we did that, and there was a little bistro or something. It had those little round tables, people drinking coffee, standing up, you know, kind of thing. And so somebody was saying, you know, we probably need to get some directions. And I was saying something to the kid that was from Huntington. He said, maybe we ought to get some directions. So we walked over there, and I told these guys that we were here on a mission trip. They said, a mission trip? And I said, yeah, you know, we're over in New Jersey. We're there for VBS, and we're there sharing Christ with the people in New Jersey. And the one guy says, man, those people in New Jersey need it, that's for sure. But I asked him, you know, something, and you know what those guys did? Gave us perfect directions. We went right straight downtown to this Ground Zero place. I think we were a couple of blocks away, and we were, again, kind of confused as where we're supposed to be going. And this man and a little boy, about 12, came by, and one of our guys grabbed him and said, "Hey, where's Ground Zero?" He said, "Oh, man, you're just a couple of blocks away." Da, 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 da. He said, "But you don't want to go down there. You want to go to the Burger King next to it." "What?" He says, "Yeah, it's a three-story Burger King." Have you ever seen a three-story Burger King? Yeah. And so anyway, he says, "Go upstairs, the third floor of the Burger King," and he said, "You'll have the best view of Ground Zero in all of New York City." And we did that, and it was unbelievable. And so, you know, New Yorkers weren't snarky. They gave us some good advice, you know. Unbelievable. Listen, we are living in desperate times, but we as children of God, we as the people of God, we as born-again believers, we have to set some other kind of example. But Timothy says the evil men and seducers that wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So it's the pattern. We need to know that. We need to understand that. But what kind of strategies can we employ as the people of God to turn that back or to introduce godliness into an ungodly world? What kind of strategy can we do? Let me just say this. First of all, I want to start by saying that faithfulness, if you get nothing else out of this message, faithfulness is the key to victory. It's the key to victory. Consider Joseph. Back in the Old Testament, he was sold into slavery by who? His brothers. Why? Why did they do that? They were jealous. Now, his dad probably shouldn't have made him a very fancy type of coat or garment. The Bible calls it a coat of many colors. But this coat was a long coat, and the sleeves were long. All the indications of this coat was that this guy is in charge. He's not manual labor. He's supervisor. And so Joseph's brothers knew all that. And then Joseph had something else. He kept talking to his brothers about dreams, didn't he? He kept telling them, "Boy, you know, brothers, I had a great dream last night. Da, 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 and you all bowed down to me and paid homage to me." Yeah, well, they didn't like any of that, that's for sure. And so one day they're out there in the field and they see him coming, and somebody said, "Let's just kill him. Let's just kill him." Reuben said, "No, we can't be doing that." And so they decided to sell him to the Midianites. So Joseph was sold into slavery by who? By his own brothers. And so Joseph was on this pilgrimage now. He'd never been before. The slavers brought him down to Egypt, and they sold Joseph to a guy named Potiphar, who was an officer to the Egyptian pharaoh. So he was a high muckety muck kind of guy. And so Joseph now is in slavery in Potiphar's house. Now, I don't know, because we're not told all those kind of things, but you know that Potiphar's wife decided that Joseph was a pretty good-looking guy. Maybe Potiphar was too busy doing, you know, statistics and all those kind of things and wasn't showing the kind of love and affection he should to his wife. I don't know. But she decided that I'll just take some of that Joseph guy. But Joseph wouldn't have anything to do with that, would he? No. But for his faithfulness, for his single-mindedness, he now got thrown out of slavery into what? Prison. Talking about going from bad to worse, right? Bad to worse. So he's in prison now. Potiphar gets him in prison. But when he's in prison, Joseph has some people around him, other prisoners, and they're having dreams. And they tell these dreams? And Joseph said, well, this is what this is, and this is what this is. And he revealed the meaning to those dreams. You know, lots of people still think dreams have meanings. I don't really know if that's the case or not. I sleep at night. I just put my wife said, you know, I put my head down on the pillow. You know, and the only thing I do is go, you know, and then she has to, move over, kind of stuff. Anyway, Joseph gets put in prison. He has three encounters with three of the people in prison with him. And then Joseph comes before one of Pharaoh's guys because Pharaoh's been having dreams. And he wants to know what these dreams mean. Now, the butcher, the baker, and the candlestick maker, or something like that, had been released and came back to work. And they said, hey, there's a guy in prison that told us all about what was going to happen to us in our dreams. Maybe he could decipher those dreams. And so then Pharaoh asked him, and he does decipher those dreams. He talks about good years, lean years, and all those kind of things. It was just a very practical thing, wasn't it? In the good years, how about storing up some more of the grain? In the bad years, then you're going to have grain to get you through the bad years. And so Joseph was interpreting those dreams for Pharaoh, and he was placed in a high position because of his ability to do that, and those things, of course, came true. Joseph was faithful. God said, Joseph, you're going to do some of these kind of things. In that dreams, remember, that he told his brothers and his brothers got jealous of? All those kind of things. But all those things came true that God was revealing to him in his dreams and other people's dreams. And Joseph became part of the Egyptian governmental structure. Now his brothers come back to Egypt and they're wanting some grain. And he kind of disguises himself, doesn't show himself to them. But you know the story. Joseph actually saves him and his whole family, doesn't he? Now, if you had started out with all those kind of things and you were a spoiled child, like I think perhaps Joseph was, maybe you would have got upset with things coming your way that you didn't deserve. Listen, things are always going to come your way that you don't deserve. You're just standing at the wrong place at the wrong time, you know, all that kind of thing. And so that's going to happen. But I want you to see there was just a couple of little small things, but they're great things. Joseph stayed faithful to God. His brothers didn't treat him right. The Midianites didn't treat him right. Potiphar didn't treat him right. Nobody was treating him right. But Joseph stayed faithful, and God raised him up and used him in a really, really great way. Over in Psalms 23:4, it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For what? For thou art with me. God was with Joseph. Listen, if you've asked Christ to come in your life, if you surrendered your heart to Christ, then God is with you. He's in you. He seals you unto the day of full redemption. He's not going to throw you away. God is with you. So never get too discouraged. I know sometimes we get smacked around and we just, you know. But yeah, don't forget what God is doing. Because Paul says, do not overcome evil, but overcome evil with good. Don't be overcome by evil. So no matter what comes your way, you just keep trucking down the road with Jesus as your pilot, whatever, as your guide, and don't give up. Don't give up. Be faithful. You know, that's really all that God is ever asking for us about, is being faithful. He will give you the gifts and the talents you need to make for whatever that job is he's given you is. Well, if God has assigned you an assignment, you can do it. Because it's not just simply you, but it is you and God walking together to do that assignment. So never, never get discouraged. Although I know that we do because we're weak. But don't get discouraged. Be faithful. You know, 9/11, the terrorist attack, the Twin Towers. And after all these years, the terrorist attack and violence is still with us, isn't it? What are we supposed to be doing? Doing what we're assigned to do. God takes care of history. God takes care of judgment. God takes care of retribution. God takes care of those things. That's not our department. What is our department? Let us be faithful unto the Lord Jesus Christ and walk uprightly with him and have our hearts and our minds turned to him, and every opportunity that we have to speak a word about Christ and to lift him up to the world, do it. Every opportunity when we have a Gideon's come here and you have the opportunity to spread Bibles all around the world. In some of these countries, nobody can even get into the Gideon's still put Bibles there. Do you know that's amazing, isn't it? When those kind of opportunities arise, that's a wonderful thing. You just took part in a great, great, great ministry. You've got gifts and talents. Use them for the Lord. Use them for the Lord. Mondale, should I sit down and start playing piano? Why did you say that? Everybody knows. You're right. You're right. No, that's not my thing, is it? No, it isn't. It isn't. There are things that you can do, and that's those things that God wants you to do, do them. You know, there are important things. I think music is a wonderful part of worship, don't you? It's a wonderful part. We've got some excellent people who lead us and play, and it's a marvelous and wonderful thing. Lifts your hearts up. It should. Points you in the right direction. Those songs and hymns are biblically based. They're not somebody's, feeling good, blah, 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 something like that. They're biblically based. They're scripture coming to you musically. Marvelous, wonderful. But what's our job? Our first and foremost, our job is to stay faithful. Stay faithful. Stay faithful. I beseech you, therefore, brothers, by what? Paul says, the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as what? A living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your what? Reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. That's what the world needs to see, somebody that's not conforming to the world. But be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what? That's the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Evil is at work, but God is greater still. There's always been conflict. There always have been challenges for the people of God. It's always going to be that way. I think about those folks who got the Mayflower and came across the Atlantic Ocean. Could you imagine coming across the Atlantic Ocean in a dinghy? That's about what it was. It was horrible. Tiny little boat. Leaked. Oh, man. You know, terrible thing. Came all the way over there. Did they know where they were going? Not really. They just knew somebody said you could go this way and you'll bump into some land over there someplace. And those folks that came, the majority of them, were looking for a place that they might serve God, worship God, and do so as their conscience gave them dictates. And in setting up those principles, one of the greatest nations on the face of this earth for freedom and godliness was set up. I think about some of these universities that have been in the news lately. They're in the news for all the wrong reasons, aren't they? They have all kinds of people from Princeton and Harvard and Yale and stuff like that out there in the street marching and carrying Palestinian flags and all those kind of things. Do you know what? I've said this many, many times. You know what Harvard and Princeton and Yale were set up to be? Seminaries. The early American says, we don't need to send all these guys back to England to get them educated. Why don't we build a school here? Then we can educate them here. They weren't thinking about doctors and lawyers and things like that. They were wanting preachers. They were wanting somebody to open the book for them and to be able to read that book and to be expounding that book, giving the education to be able to understand those kind of things, and then counting on the Spirit of God within that person. And God blessing that. How, George Whitfield, how can a guy stand outside on a hillside and preach to 50,000 people without a microphone? But he did. He did. He must have had a megaphone for a voice. Unbelievable. Countless. John Wesley, I read one time, actually rode 7 horses to death riding back and forth all over England and Wales preaching the gospel. Isn't that amazing? 7 horses. It's a good thing he, you know, lived then, because now the SPCA would be after him, you know. You've been killing horses, John, you know, kind of thing. They gave their hearts and minds to God unreservedly, and God took care of them. God's going to take care of you better than you can think. You're thinking to yourself, oh, that I might have this, and oh, that I might have that. Most of the time, all those things are what? Material things. You know, one of these days, this old body that I'm in is going to give it up, and I'm going to go home to be with Jesus. My wife's going to have a sale, suits for sale, you know, shoes for sale. Boy, don't you like these shoes? Taylor, what do you think? Look at that. No socks on either. This guy is really getting up there, isn't he? He's really getting down there. My wife got these shoes at the, what is that thing? Goodwill. These things are about $20-some at Walmart, $28, I think, something like that. They're very, very comfortable, and because she only paid $2, they really are nice. They really are nice. Very nice, very nice. Listen, it doesn't matter those kind of things. All that kind of stuff's going to go by the wayside. It's what you do, who you serve, how you serve, and your sacrifices in doing those things that's going to last forever. Matter of fact, God one day will say to you, come here, good and faithful servant. Wow. What a day that will be. Wow. Can you imagine that? You know, I know a lot of folks say, when I get to heaven, I'm going to look up the Apostle Paul, and we're going to sit down and have a big Bible study. He's going to tell me all about Romans and all that kind of thing. I think to myself, have you never read Paul's epistle? He says, you'll know as you are known. There's not going to be any Bible studies in heaven. You're going to know as you are known. Don't need that anymore. We're there. It's accomplished. Fait accompli. It's over with in that sense. And God wants us to use this time that we have for Him, and He will repay us tenfold, maybe 100-fold. You'll never be able to stand up before God and say, you know what? You really slighted me. Never going to happen. Never going to happen. Those talented fingers that worked that keyboard, isn't that marvelous? Marvelous. I've got a voice that God gave me, and I can sing. Well, okay. I've got a voice. Everybody's got some talent and gift that God wants you to use. Everybody does. Everybody does. It may just be that God is looking for somebody that will be outgoing enough that when he sees, when you see a new person coming to Calvary, you'll go over there and shake their hand and say, hey, my name is so. Who are you and what you're about? And introduce yourself. Make them feel welcome because they are welcome. Make them feel welcome. Yeah. It's better to be a doorkeeper in the house of God than a whole lot of other things. That's for sure. Faithfulness. Just be faithful. Keep at it. Don't stop. Whatever God has given you to do, don't stop. I don't care what happens. Don't stop. And God will take care of the details. Father, we live in an untoward world. It's a world that's rapidly changing before our eyes. All kinds of things that are happening all over the world. Some very dangerous things happening that may, and rightfully so, give us pause to halt and say, oh my goodness. Man's inhumanity to man. Horrible, terrible, sadistic things done in the name of God. No, that's not my God. Lord, help us to be a people on fire for you with a love and a passion for Jesus and each and every one of us, every believer, they're a part of our family. Love us. Help us to love. Help us to get the good news out. Help us, Father, to touch the world we're living in because that's our assignment. This is the time we're living. Our assignment. Lord, if decisions need to be made even this morning, I pray that we've done so to honor Jesus, for it's in his precious name we pray. Amen. If you have something to make open, to make public, you come today. Don't hesitate. Don't delay. Let's stand.
Have thy own way, Lord. Have thy own way. Thou art the potter.
We thank you, Father, that you first loved us, that you laid out this plan of salvation before the foundation of the world, the Lamb slain for our justification, for the sin payment that our bill you paid, and we thank you for that. Lord, help us to be your people, and help us to be a light in this dark, dark world. As we go from this place, Lord, use us this week. For these things I ask in that mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed.